Amen. All right, I want to start reading here at Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Verse 17. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him, even him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Are we talking about the life of faith? The life of faith. And this life of faith, when you're talking about that, you're talking about a life that you live from the inside out, meaning that faith is not something that you could see, feel, touch, or whatever. It's a substance of things hoped for and the evidence of something not seen. So, or not perceived by the senses. So faith is something beyond the five physical senses. Some people have what is known as sense knowledge faith. In other words, they'll believe it if they can feel it a little bit. They can believe it if they could see it a little bit. They're so sense oriented and have been trained on the senses. And if they can't see it, feel, touch, taste, and smell it, it's not so. Well, the key to it is that the real battle is in the spirit. And spiritual things are just as real as material things. As even I can say this, they're even more real. And time, by the way, is material. Time is not spirit. Time is material, and you can govern time just like you can govern matter. So as we look at this, that the knowledge that most men have received in their lives has come through the senses. And that is only a small amount of knowledge. In other words, most of the knowledge that you get now as a believer is called revelation knowledge. It's knowledge that comes to this person independent of the five physical senses, meaning that it comes on another realm in the spirit. Now, once you have this faith, God wants you to live by faith. And that's one of the most important things, that after you get born again, spirit-filled, that the life of faith is a thing that you need to develop and perfect. Because the just must live by it. You must live by faith, not something that you use once in a while, but something that you need every day, because every day you're up against an unseen force called the spiritual things of Satan or demons or whatever have you. And you're going to have to learn how to control those things without seeing them with your natural eyes. And you can do exactly that. Now, when you're dealing with God, you're going to have to deal with him by faith, because God is a faith God. And when you're talking about walking with God, you're talking about walking by faith. Let's go to 2 Corinthians, please, in chapter 5. Second Corinthians chapter 5. Okay. All right, it says here, and I'll read one verse, verse 7, for we walk by faith and not by sight. And I use that a lot of times, even on closing our broadcast, I talk about the walk of faith. Now, when you're walking by faith, you're walking according to God's will. You're really walking according to the Word of God, because the Word of God is the thing that develops faith in your life. And when you're walking by faith, you're walking by the Word. And then as you do walk by faith and are led by the Spirit, he's going to lead you into a place where you're advancing the kingdom. And if you're advancing the kingdom of God, you're going to enter into a battle. And battles are going to be necessary for you to get to where you're going. And so now we have to overcome in that particular situation. So the Bible says over in 1 John, in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4, he says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So we need faith to get the victory. And when you're talking about faith, faith always declares the outcome before the fight ever starts. The faith always declares the outcome before the fight ever starts. In other words, the battle is won on the inside before it's ever won on the outside. So you and I have to walk by faith. And when you're doing that, you got to keep your eye on the Word of God. Can't take your eye off the Word of God, not for 1 minute. So God plans for you to win. He says, fight the good fight of faith, and you win every time. Not win a few, lose a few, but you win every time. Your faith will never rise any higher than you're willing to confess. Your faith will never rise any higher than you're willing to confess. So confession is the thing that builds faith, and confession is the thing that develops faith, and confession is the thing that releases faith. Once you release faith, faith goes to work for you. Let's go over here to Luke's Gospel, Luke chapter 17, please. Luke chapter 17. I said Luke chapter 17, didn't I? Yeah. Just a minute. Just hold on to your horses. I know I'm in the right place. Just a minute. Luke chapter 17. Yeah, I'm in the right place. All right, look at verse 5. And the apostle said to him, Lord, increase our faith. Now, the apostles are asking Jesus to increase their faith. And Jesus begins to tell them, he said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto the sycamine tree, be plucked up by the root, be planted into the sea, and it should obey you. It what? Faith, okay. How about the tree? Would the tree obey you too? Yeah, right? Now, I think you're hitting the right thing. You're saying first that your faith will obey you. And that's what you want your faith to do, because faith works for you. Remember when Jesus spoke to the fig tree? What did he do after he spoke to it? He went on down to Jerusalem. What was happening to the tree that he spoke to while he was in Jerusalem? His faith was working. His faith was working. Now he went to bed that night, got up early in the morning, came back by the tree, and the disciples said, hey, the tree that you spoke to yesterday has withered up from the roots. Now, his faith went to work for him. So you can put faith to work for you and go do something else. And faith will be working for you all while you're carrying something else out. Are you following what I'm saying? So what I said about this particular teaching is faith is a servant of the believer. Faith is a servant of the believer. All right. Now, I like what Bishop Oedipo says. If your faith has no proof, it's a fake. Okay. And that's what people do. They, for some reason, Dr. Price has a book out called Faith, Foolishness, or Presumption. And I think that was ideal because people have presumptions, just faith. And they think they have faith, but no faith is there. And the reason why they haven't taken time to meditate, they haven't taken time to study it, so forth and so on, and build their faith. And I'm encouraging you to build your faith because we're living in a time now where you need faith. Okay, so he said in verse 7, now which of you having a servant plowing, feeding cattle, and saying to him, by and by when he has come in from the field, go and sit down to meat, and will not rather say to him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself and serve me, till I have eaten and drunken, and after you shall eat and drink. So if your faith ever works for you, and it comes in with a job well done, don't let him sit down on the couch and look at television. You know, faith has to be fed every day, and the more you work your faith, the stronger faith gets. You got it? All right, so Adam in his life had to live by faith. So the faith that Adam spoke in words and so forth operated just like the faith that God has in Jesus operated, and just like we are to operate today. All right, now, in terms of walking by faith and expanding the kingdom, let's go just a little bit further here. Now, this I'm giving it to you for the very first time, so I'm probably have to slow down just a little bit to make sure that I end up in the right place. God's plan for you and I is to go from milk to meat. That's where his plan is. All right, let's go to Jeremiah chapter 31, please. Jeremiah chapter 31. Jeremiah chapter 31. All right, look at verse 33. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts, and I'll write it in their hearts, and I'll be their God, and they shall be my people. Next verse, verse 34. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sins, what? No more. All right? So one of the things that you can discover from this particular verse is that God would have every one of us to have a relationship with Him. God would have every one of us to have a relationship with Him. Now, if you'll, a couple of scriptures I want to show you. We're in Bible study, so we can turn to these things. And look at verse, John chapter 10, please. And John chapter 10 and verse 30. Over in the Gospel of John chapter 10 and verse 30. And look what it says here in verse 30. And I and, my Father are how many? Are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. And Jesus answered them, Many good works have I shown you of my Father. Which of those works do you stone me? And Jesus answered him, saying, For good work we stone you not, but for blasphemy. And because thou being a man, maketh thyself God? And Jesus answered them, Well, is it not written in your law? I said, You are gods? If he called them gods unto whom the word of God came, then the scripture cannot be broken, cannot be set aside, it cannot be canceled, it cannot be annulled. Say ye of him whom the Father has sanctified and sent into the world, Thou blasphemest, because I said, I am the Son of God? If I do not the works of my Father, what? Don't even believe what I said. Proof. Now, I'm saying this to say that, wait a minute, I'm telling you, if you've read the scriptures, then you're finding out who you are. And you are God's. That means you and the Father are in the same class. And if you notice in the Bible, God talks about his children. He never speaks that he has grandkids. No, because he never intended for anyone that is an offspring of his not to have a direct relationship. I'm not talking about going through somebody. I'm talking about a direct relationship with him. Now let's look at Jesus teaching his disciples. Turn to Matthew and chapter Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16. Over in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16, this is Jesus with the disciples up in Caesarea Philippi. It's up in the north country. We've been over there before. And he is saying in verse 13, Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, Some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. Notice he's asking them. He's got his disciples there, and he wants each one of them to have a relationship with the Father. And I said to you, and he said to them, But who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said to him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not what? Revealed it unto thee, but who? My Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art who? Peter, and upon this what? Rock I'll build my what? Church, and the gates of hell shall not what? Prevail against them. And I will give thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. So forth and so on. Now he's talking about a personal relationship. Let's not stop there. Let's go to John's Gospel, chapter 16, please. John chapter 16. I'm asking you to turn quickly. You can get the tape. John chapter 16. And look at verse 23. And in that day, you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, come on, he will give you. Notice what he's trying to do now. He's out to have you to have a relationship with the Father just like he does. Now, are you following what I'm saying? Look at the next verse. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive that your joy may be full. So you're going to go to the Father yourself. You're not going to have to go to anybody else except the Father, and you go in Jesus' name. Say amen to this. Amen. Now, all this is very key for us having this one-on-one relationship with him. Let's go to another place. Let's go to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. Let me know when you get there. Look at John chapter 6, verse 5. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come to him. And he said to Philip, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. And Philip answered him, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of the disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, well, there's a lad here. Now he's got 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what is that among so many? And Jesus said, make the men sit down. All right, now what do you think Jesus was doing with that situation? What was he trying to do still with them? All right, he was revealing something to them. He was letting them know that they have a relationship too with the Father. And he was teaching them how to enter into that relationship. And the reason why is because he knew one day he was going to have to go. And he couldn't keep feeding you like this. You now have the ability through his word to feed yourself. Now, this is very important. Let's go to another place. Let's go and look at Mark chapter 9, please. Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. And let me know when you get to Mark chapter 9. Now, this is when a father brought his son to Jesus. Well, he brought him to the disciples that they would cast out a devil. But apparently they couldn't. The father had a son with a dumb spirit. And verse 18, and wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and foameth, and gnashes with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they what? Could not. That means they tried. You didn't say they would not. You said they could not. And he answered him and saith what? O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? Notice what he's doing. He's preparing to go. How long are you going to ask me to do what you can do? Now, I want to know this. How long? Now, this is him asking. That's why I don't have a prayer line on my broadcast. I'm not doing that. I'm taking you from milk to meat. I'm taking you to pray your own prayer. I'm taking you so you can pray. You don't have faith in the kingdom, it'll keep you begging. And it's a disgrace. If somebody's been sitting up under this word, they're supposed to be able to use this. Now, let's keep going now, because Jesus is not happy that they're calling him to do all the things that they need to do, that they can do. He's not happy about it. Now, I'm not saying people aren't babes, and babes need prayer, babes need so forth and all. But somewhere during that 40 years, he need to grow up. Am I right about it? Now, I'm not coming down on anybody, but I told you, this is a message here that I got to deliver here tonight. All right? Let's go to another place. Let's go to Mark's Gospel, Mark chapter 4, please. Isn't this wonderful? Now don't get sad, get glad. But this is you coming out. Now this is your coming out time. Praise God. All right. All right, this is the time where Jesus said to the disciples, verse 35, and the same day, when the evening was come, when nighttime came, he said unto them, let us pass over to the other side. Like you'd think Jesus would want to go in the daytime, but night, and it's dark out there, folks. And when they had sent the multitude away, took him even as he was in the ship, and there was also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and said to him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Watch this. And he arose and rebuked the wind. He said to the sea, what? Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great what? Calm. And he answered unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have not some faith, not little faith, no faith? I don't understand that. And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of a man is this that even the wind and the sea obey who? Him. Well, they didn't obey him directly. They'd obeyed his faith. That's all. Now, wait a minute. He's now chastising. I mean, this is not a compliment he's paying them here. He said, wait a minute. I don't understand. Like, how long you gonna stay with me? I don't understand it. I've shown you proof. I've shown you a shopping mall. I've shown you a bank. I've shown you. Now, how long you gonna be around this and no faith? I don't understand that. Make me understand that. That's what he's saying. And I'm telling you what happened. You can enter into a comfort zone that you know if you don't have it, somebody gonna give it to you. Somebody, you can beg long enough. And I'm telling you, a day is coming where even that supply is not gonna be there. You're gonna have to use your raw faith and make that thing happen. And folks, you need to do it now. You need to brace up and say, that's what I'm gonna do by faith. I'm telling you, listen, if you got too much flesh on you, if you're looking too hard at flesh, faith will not work. You're going to have to ignore. I'm telling you, folks, you're going to have to turn away from that because those two lusted again one another. You got to get self off your mind. You are too self-conscious, how people look at you so much. You will never walk by this kind of faith. You can forget it. You can chalk it up and go home and go get some grits. All right, now. Now, I want you to see something because I'm going somewhere with this. If you go to 1 Corinthians, come over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Now, I'm not saying babies don't have to learn and we have to take care of babies. Say amen to that. So he's got two people. He's got lambs and he's got sheep. He said, lambs are little ones that you have to take care of. Sheep are somebody that should be able to do their own grazing. Say amen. Look what he says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as spiritual, but as unto who? Carnal, even as to babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. For you are yet what? Carnal. For where there is among you envy, come on, strife, come on, divisions, are you not what? Carnal, and walk as what? Amen. As men. Turn on over to chapter 15, please. Chapter 15. Praise God. Oh, yeah, you're going to walk by faith and not by sight. Mm-hmm. We're going to do this. But what you got to do is you got to make a commitment to it. You can't leave an opening that if it don't work, this is going to work. We're going to make it work. We're going to see it work. God says it's going to work. Now, I'm going to give you a key. I'm going to give you a key to making sure that this thing works. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15 first. Let me know when you get there. Are you at 1 Corinthians chapter 15? He said in verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood, what? Cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Now, let's stop right there. What does he mean by that? All God's blessings to you are first spiritual. All the blessings of the kingdom are first spiritual. You want a car paid off? It's first spiritual. You want a new car? It's first spiritual. You want to get rid of something? It's first spiritual. You want to get something? It's first spiritual. I'm just letting you know that. Got it? You have to receive it from spirit to spirit. Got it? You have to receive it first spiritually. So Jesus teaches on that. Let's go over to it. I feel led to go there. I don't want to go there, but let's go. Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. Amen. Now I'm giving you the truth now, because I'm going to show you something that's going to really help you. Look at Mark chapter 11. Have you got it? Now this is when Jesus cursed that fig tree and so forth. Verse 20. In the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, he said, Master, behold, the fig tree which you cursed is withered away. Verse 22. And Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. I'll underline that right there. Have faith in God. Because that's what we're doing with you. We're switching you from having faith in yourself and having faith in the federal government or your auntie to having faith in God. That's where we're taking you right now. Now, another one says have a God kind of faith, but that one right there will work as well. Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things that he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. I'm working on something right now. So what am I doing? I'm taking it twice a day. I'm doing it twice a day. I'm saying scriptures twice a day. I'm saying it and when I get up in the morning in my prayer time, say it. Just say it. And then I got about four scriptures in that group I'm saying it with. And then I come back at night, say it again, six or seven times. And I say it. What am I doing? I'm rooting out some old image, because there must be some old image that's blocking me from what I'm trying to do. Now, notice what I'm doing. I'm laboring, but I'm laboring in the Word. I'm not trying to add on more hours to my job. I'm laboring in the Word. Say amen to that. All right, look at verse 24. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you what? Pray, keep going, believe that you receive them, keep going, and you shall have them. Now, there is no feeling in there. No feeling. And that is where God's people don't want to go many times. And that's what we've got to get over that. We've got to get over the fact that we don't want to leave the flesh. The flesh says, I can feel it, touch it, taste it, smell it, so forth, and I know it's there. The spirit says, I can't feel it, touch it, taste it, so, and I know it's there. And the reason why I know it's there, because God said it's there, and I'm going to trust God more than I'm going to trust these five senses right here. And that's what faith is all about. Have faith where? In God. Have faith in God. Now, if I believe that I say this, God said it'll removed. So I'm going to have faith in God. Does that make sense to you? I'm talking about growing up now. Because when Bishop Oedipo came here, he preached a grown-up message. And I was so glad he did. But I said, hey, he put a little slack out of my chain here. I'm going to have to get back to a grown-up message, because you start coming on down and pretty soon you're on the ground and, you know, trying to get down there with everybody else. You got to come on up, saints. You got to come on up. Jesus didn't come down one time. Now, let's go to Luke chapter 5. I'm going to show you something which is a key to adding to your faith, developing your faith. Luke chapter 5. Are you with me so far?
Yes.
Now, none of this is that I'm talking about is for people who really are not committed to the Lord. It's not for them. They're just looking for somewhere to go on Sunday morning. That's fine. Just to get the guilt off. Oh, that's all right. And so forth. But this what I'm talking about now is for true believers. It's for people who really know that there is a calling on their life to do something in this earth. And they're going to have faith to do it. But verse 1, and it came to pass, as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's. He prayed him that he thrust out a little from the land. He sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Got it? And when he had left speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answered him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, come on, at thy word, I will let down the net. Now, this is where I want to stop right here, because I want to show you something. Look at verse 1. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God. You hear that? That word right there, underline it. The word is logos. It means whole word. Just like I read you a word here. But then when you go to verse 5, and Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all the night, and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy what? Word, I will let down the net. That is not logos. That is rhema. That is rhema. Now, what is a rhema word? Okay? Rhema is when God speaks to you directly from the inside out. You didn't hear this with your natural ears. You just heard something that you didn't hear with your natural ears. Nevertheless, at thy word, hey, wait a minute, I just heard something here. And let me tell you, faith cometh how? By hearing, and what? Hearing by the word of God. You got what I'm saying? You got to convert it from logos to a rhema. Because when rhema comes, faith cometh. And when that faith cometh, that's when you move. And when you do move out of that faith, there is nothing in this earth or in Satan's arsenal that can stop you from reaching your destiny. Amen. Nothing. Because rhema comes, when it comes, faith cometh. And now faith cometh, and all you got to do is act on what you just heard. Not from the outside in. Not just another sermon, but you heard something this time. This time you really heard something. And then when you hear it, you act on it. And when you do, you release faith. Now, faith is a servant, and it won't come back with the job undone. So once you release that faith, faith used to work for God. Well, he still does. But faith is the same faith that God said, let there be light, and there was light. Then God created you, gave you his same faith, and say, now use it. Now you use it to fix the earth. You use it to subdue the earth. You use it to stop tornadoes. You use it so forth and so on. Are you with me now? So it's a rhema. It's a rhema word. And when I was with the company IBM, and God had been speaking to me about coming out of the company. Well, I'd started listening to a tape TV series by somebody, and he was preaching on Mark chapter 10, verses 29 and 30. No man that has left house, or mother, father, sister, brother, or land, well, land, not substitute job, for my sake in the gospel, but he shall receive 100-fold now. Well, I started meditating on that. And one day, rhema hit. It hit me without me seeking it or anything. I'm on University Avenue in St. Paul, Minnesota, and all of a sudden something came inside of me, boom, and that scripture opened up, and I felt a leading just to step out and leave that company. Now understand, I didn't have faith for it before, but I heard, and that rhema, that it went from logos to rhema. And once it hits rhema, you know it, because you feel comfortable about stepping out like you never felt comfortable before. Say amen to that. When you stepped out before, it was uncomfortable. But now when you step out, it's comfortable, and you don't really know how it's going to happen. But you know you feel comfortable about stepping out on it. You follow what I'm saying? So when it says here over in Mark chapter 4, it says, now Jesus told him, let's go to the other side. And they took him even as he was in the ship. See, even as he was, they took the Logos. They let the Logos go to sleep. They didn't convert the Logos to the Rhema so that they could stop the storm when the storm came. Lord have mercy. Okay, well, I won't go any deeper than that. Now, so for all of us, the walk of faith is what God wants in our lives. And faith comes, faith grows, faith works. All right? Faith is the only fight for a believer. You're not to fight any other fight. You're not to fight denominations, not people. Faith dominates time and matter. And all blessings of the kingdom have to be received first by faith. All right. Now, let's look at a hindrance to that. So what am I saying here now? Notice what he did. Jesus preached first. Then Peter sat down and Jesus what? Taught. Notice, preaching on Sunday, teaching on Wednesday. Notice, preaching brings inspiration. Teaching brings revelation. Got it? Now you understand it. And folks, during my time between the time I left that company and the time that we really started the ministry and so forth, that enemy tried to send me back to that job. But you see, when you got revelation, it's like Brother Hagin said, this man had this hot air balloon. And in this hot air balloon, they were all holding it down by the ropes, but a gush of wind came up and took the balloon up in the air. Some of the men held on till they got 50 feet, 100 feet. Some fell off and just died instantly. But this one man held on. And the balloon began to go by the wind and go on over to another. And they jumped in cars and got an ambulance and started tracking the balloon. And then the balloon started to come down. And when it got in reach of the men, they grabbed this particular man and took him and tried to put him on a gurney to put him in the ambulance to take him to the hospital. And he said, wait, what are you doing? They said, well, we're taking you to the hospital. He said, why? They said, aren't you hurt? You were trying to hold on to that rope. He said, no, I wasn't. He said, after I got up there, I said, I can just tie the rope around me and the rope will hold me. And that's what revelation is. You're no longer holding on trying to get something. It's now holding on to you and nothing can take you out of its hands. Praise God. Are you still with me? All right, now we're about to get deep. Let's go to John chapter 5, please. John chapter 5. Come on with it, huh? Praise the Lord. That's what I like to hear. I like to hear some saints that are ready to go, man. Praise God. Okay, John chapter 5. All right. Now, the Bible is a coded book. And you can't see what the code is except by the Holy Ghost. Okay? And the Bible calls the Holy Ghost your teacher. That's found over in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 through 14. All right? Eyes has not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered in the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him, but he has revealed them to us by his Spirit, so forth. So the Holy Spirit got to reveal you and break the code in this book. All right? Now, over in John chapter 5, verse 1, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there at Jerusalem by the sheep market was a pool called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. Now Bethesda has to do with grace. Mercy, or house of mercy or grace, and it having five porches, having five porches. Now, let me get my notes here now, praise God. Five represents the place of grace. Five. Five, all right. Verse 3. And these laid a great multitude of impotent folk, blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of water. Impotent means sick. For an angel went down a certain season into a pool and troubled the water, and whosoever then, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made what? Whole, come on, of whatsoever disease he had. Stay with me now. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. All right. Now this 38 years is significant. Because I didn't realize this, but according to Deuteronomy chapter 2 and verse 14, he says, and the space in which we came from Kadesh Barnea, this is in the wilderness, until we were come over the brook Zered was 38 years. They were 38 years in the wilderness. This man had been 38 years like this. And Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had now been a long time in that case. And he said to him, will you be made whole? The impotent man answered, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me in the pool. But while I'm coming, another stepping down before me. And Jesus said to him, what? Rise, keep going, take up your bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, took up the bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. So the Jews therefore said to him that was cured, it is not lawful. It's a Sabbath day. It is not lawful for you to carry your bed. All right, let's deal with it. Now, can I get a little more time with you? Just a little bit more. I'm almost done. Let's go back, put something right there, and let's go back to Deuteronomy and chapter 7, please. Deuteronomy and chapter 7. Let me know when you get there, please. Okay. In Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 1, when the Lord thy God shall bring you into the land where you go and possess it, and has cast out many nations before you, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and what? Mighty than you are. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 9. Hear, O Israel, thou art, verse 1, to pass over Jordan this day, to go in to possess nations greater and mightier than you are, cities great and fenced up to heaven, people tall, great and tall, and the children of the Anakims, whom thou knowest and of whom thou hast heard say, who can stand before the children of Anak? All right, so I'm getting over to you the point that these nations are greater and taller and so forth. All right. Now, each one of these nations represents a strong man. Are you with me? And Luke chapter 11, put it up on the board, please, just they don't have to turn to it. Luke chapter 11 and verse 21. When a strong man armed keeps his palace, his goods are in peace. Verse 22, but when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusted and does what? Divideth his spoil. So there he's telling them, you're not going to be able to take these nations in your own strength. So you can forget that. All right, let's go to Isaiah chapter 10, please. Now, I'm going to read this real quick only because I'm out of time. I didn't realize I was using this much time. Isaiah chapter 10. If you have it, say praise the Lord. In Isaiah chapter 10, he says this in verse 27, "And it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off your shoulder and his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be what? Destroyed." Keep going. "Because of the anointing." So what is a yoke? If in the olden days they had oxen that were yoked together, and they had a stronger older ox that was yoked to maybe a younger ox, and that stronger ox would turn, and that younger ox was taught in turning because he'd have to turn and go that way, because the yoke that was put on their neck was a wooden thing that was yoked and had both of them have to stay in line with one another. So can you imagine the devil and spirits coming on somebody who is not mature enough to get spirits off of them, but that spirit come on in them, and they're trying to fight it in the natural, but nothing in the natural seemed to do it any good. And that spirit is now calling that his or her house. And that spirit is now driving them to do certain things that they don't want to do. They didn't intend to do this. They didn't intend. They're depressed, don't know why, and so forth. I'm talking about the spirits now that are driving. Because the church is the only answer for those spirits. And those spirits are loose in the earth. And my wife was telling me about a program she saw the other night. I think that's, well, the night, that there are going to be spirits that are going to be loosed in the last days. Are you the one that told me that? And that in the last days, those spirits are going to be loose, and they're going to be more, did you tell me about this or not?
Yeah.
And what about them?
The
warfare against the saints is going to be more intense than before. These spirits are going to be. Now, I know that because that's in the Bible. It says Satan knows his days are short. So now, wait a minute. The church is the only one that can fight them spirits, because the only way you can deliver them is by faith. Now, notice what happened. The woman who had the issue of blood, she went to all the physicians. Nothing could help her. She got worse. Then she heard about Jesus. She said, "Now, if I can just touch but his clothes." Now that anoint, that hem of his garment represented those promises of God. And so forth. If you go and do some Jewish study, you'll see. But she went and pressed her way through the crowd. Now she wasn't supposed to be out because she had an issue of blood, and the law says stay in. But she was walking by faith, and so she could come out. And once she came out, she touched his garment. Right then, virtue flowed. What did the virtue do? It removed burdens and destroyed yokes. And immediately she was healed. So what is faith? It is the anointing connector. It will, anything that's bothering you, it will remove it right now. It won't have to take 10 days, 5 days, 2 weeks, 3 months, so forth. It can fix what's broke today. Say amen to that. Now, I want you to go to something with me. 2 Samuel, please. And 2 Samuel chapter 4. This is a son of Jonathan. The son of Jonathan, his name is Mephibosheth. Now that name means something, but I won't go into all of that. Verse 4. "And Jonathan Saul's son had a son that was lame in his feet. He was 5 years old." 5 is a point of grace. "Years old when the tidings came of Saul and Jonathan out of Jezreel. And his nurse took him up and fled. And it came to pass as she made haste to flee that he fell and became what? Lame in and his name was what? Mephibosheth." So there is a spirit, and this spirit is called a parasite. And the parasite, come back to Deuteronomy chapter 7, please. All of these spirits are strong men. And that's why a lot of times you try to blame the world and blame people and so forth. Hey, they can't fight those spirits. There's nothing in the natural can fight a spirit. There are angels up here right now. Look here. I can't even feel them in the natural, but I can see them with my spirit. Say amen to that. And so notice here again, verse 1 of chapter 7. When the Lord thy God shall bring you into the land wherein you go and possess it, and hath cast out many nations from before thee, the who, Hittites, that's the spirit of fear. Fear. When you fear something, that spirit just jumped on you. And I'm telling you, what you need to do is get him off. And get him off forever. Say amen to that. And the way you can get yourself delivered from that spirit, again, is the anointing of God or the word of God and faith of God. And verse, and Girgashites, that's the clay dwellers. I won't talk about that tonight. And the Amorites, those are slanderers. Those are spirits. When you make a step forward, they'll remind you of the fact that, oh, you did this. You smoked that reefer. You did this. You got an abortion. Those are spirits that remind you of your past. And the Canaanites, those Canaanite spirits are spirits of sex perversion and addiction. And parasites. Now, this parasites is what we want to deal with right there. Praise God. I got to deal with that. Now, and Jebusites, we're going to deal with those too. All right? Now, this, give me 2 minutes here. I'm going to finish this thing. Now, what am I saying? I'm saying the man that we read about over in John 5, he couldn't get up. He was crippled. Now, the parasite is called a Tiny Tim spirit. Now, how many of you ever heard of Tiny Tim before? What play or what novel or whatever? Christmas what? Christmas Carol, the Christmas Carol. All right, now, these are for those who read that. It was a little kid that was crippled called Tiny Tim. Now, what does that spirit, what is it after? This spirit perpetuates a need for a crutch. It makes a person permanently depend on other people. It promotes a sense of permanent shame. Behind the facade of that person, they're ashamed. And a sense of inadequacy. It robs a person of their ability to dream. And it creates low self-esteem. It's called the villager. And this parasite, this, Lord have mercy, come on now. So Mephibosheth was 5 years old. So this parasite spirit is likely, not likely to dream of great things. They see themselves small and insignificant. And parasites not only work to believe in smallness, but the smallness in people around them also they believe in. They want to keep everybody small. I didn't do that. You can't do it either. The crippled spirit always needs somebody else to believe God for them. Now you see why Jesus demanded that they grow up. He did not want that spirit to come on them because now they'll be subject to other people all the time. And God never intended for you to have the pastor to do all your praying or you to have somebody else. He intended for you to learn how to pray yourself. That everybody will know me from the least to the greatest. Say amen to that. Y'all still here? The other spirit that works with that is a Jebusite spirit. Now, this particular spirit tries to enforce a caste system. In other words, it tries to humiliate a person to keep them down, to keep them from believing. And the moment the man started walking with his bed, notice he ran into a Jebusite spirit. And they said, they weren't concerned about the man's healing at all. And they knew healing could only come from God. But they weren't going to let this man walk with his bed. They said, hey, you were carrying your bed. They didn't even care about the man got healed. Did you carry your bed in a Sabbath day? Uh-uh. Are you with me? Now, the reason why I'm giving this to you is because you've got spirits over there. That these spirits have an assignment to come on our lives and keep us from growing up and from developing as saints of God. A bad parent is one who manipulates their children to stay under their control all their life. Children must learn to walk. And when you mention the word walk in the Bible, usually has to do with spiritual maturity. That when you can walk, it means that you are spiritually mature. Say amen to that. Come to Luke chapter 2, and I have one more and I'm done. What did I tell you to turn to? Luke chapter 2. Are you there? Look at Luke chapter 2 and look at verse 42. And when he was 12 years old, he went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned to the child, Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in that company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all they that heard him were what? Astonished at his understanding and his answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, Son, why hast thou dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said to them, wait a minute. How is it that you sought after me? Wast ye not that I must be about my... Notice, he's switching from one father to the other, because it's time for you to do that. God will use a pastor. God will use an overseer. He'll use so forth and so on. But there's a time that you're going to need to make a switch. And there's a spirit that is designed to make you not make that switch, because he knows unless you make the switch, you won't grow up. God has some big things for you. And I'm telling you right now, Jesus said something. Turn to John chapter 14. I think we'll finish right there. How we doing? We doing okay? Yeah. For we walk by what?
Faith.
Faith and not by sight. John chapter 14. Let me know when you get there. Verse 12. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works, come on, that I do, come on, shall he do also, and what? Greater works than he shall he do, because what? I'm going to my Father. What is he saying here? He is saying a Father that is a good Father raises you up so that one day you won't have to depend on him for anything, and that you will have twice what he has. Now go in the scriptures and look at it. Isaac had twice what Abraham had. You go in the scriptures and look at it. I'm just saying, what I'm telling you right now is a good father wants you to exceed what he's done. And you've got pastors or leaders that want to keep everybody under the control, want to keep everybody calling them for prayer, want to keep everybody. Why? That is that. Let me tell you, the responsibility is on him and on you to get out from the dependency of having another person have to lift you up and take you to the river and hope that you can get in first so that you can get healed. Those days are over. Rise and get up on your feet and walk. You do it yourself. Now you got what I'm saying? Now this is the message to you. I'm not saying that we don't have babies in the house and people that need prayer. You haven't developed your prayer yet and so forth. But what are you doing to develop your prayer? Come out on Saturdays. Go to a prayer class. Make sure that you study in prayer and see what it has. Take some time. Turn the plate over a day. Fast a day. Let the Lord get a revelation inside of your spirit of who you really are that you can report directly to him. Say amen to that. I told you, I'm not trying to raise up a bunch of followers. I'm raising up leaders in this church. People that are going to lead the way into the promised land. And you're going to get everything that God has said you must have. In the name of Jesus, I decree it. Now that's all I got. Give the Lord a praise. Come on, give him a praise. Give him a praise. Your body don't want to praise him, but your spirit knows you need to praise him. You need to break the power of any spirits that have still got you playing games in the kingdom of God. I come against that Jebusite spirit. I come against that parasite spirit. I come against that Hittite spirit, and I break your power over every person in the sound of my voice. In the name of Jesus, can somebody shout amen? Take a seat. When people are oppressed, there are two people that need deliverance. The oppressed and the oppressor. Don't ever forget that. One of them's got a Jebusite, the other's got a parasite. There are people that like to keep people under their feet. You need deliverance. God says we're all part of his family. That he is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, Africa, India, they that feareth him and worketh righteousness have the same access to his blessing. You ain't got to beg nobody for nothing in no country you live in. No time. This has been a message today, tonight, that you shouldn't forget. For we walk by faith and not by sight. Yes, indeed. Clay dwellers. Hold your head down all the time. Looking at the dirt. God didn't call you to hold your head down. He said, lift up your eyes to the hills from which cometh your help. Your help cometh from the Lord. You're here tonight, you need to be born again. I want to pray for you right now. You know that's you, and you know in your life you don't have a relationship with God. You may have been pretending, you may have thought you had one, but coming in church and sitting in a church service doesn't save you, just like standing in a garage don't make you a car. You got to be born again. And if you're here tonight, you know in your life there's something missing in your life, and you know that Jesus, he's your deliverer. He's the one, he's the anointed one that removes burdens and destroys every yoke. And you need him first. He said, no one can come to the Father except by me, by him. So if you're here, you know that you, I want to pray with you right now. Here's what I want you to do. I'm not asking you to join this church. You can make that decision later. I'm asking you tonight to give your life to Jesus Christ. So when you leave this place, you can be a born again, changed person. I'm talking about no more toil. You have crossed over. So if you're here, you know I'm talking to you, give me an opportunity to pray for you. God loves you, and so do we. I want to pray for you right now. Take a step of faith. Get up out of your chair. Come up here and stand with me right now. Come right on. Come just like you are. Come on over. Come on over here. Get up out of your chair. Come on up here and stand with me. Come on down.